A prayer for peace. It's a heavy prayer to carry in these days. As most of you know, in January, I had the distinct privilege and honor to go to Guatemala with American Jewish World Service. This trip was part of the Global Justice Fellowship, a six-month fellowship of 15 rabbis across the spectrum of Jewish belief, in which we learned about rights-based advocacy and moral courage. And we experienced with our own bodies, minds, and spirits life in Guatemala in 2019. What you may not know is that I was extremely hesitant to join this group. Ruth Messenger, the global ambassador for American Jewish World Service, was gracious enough to write the foreword to Pirkei Imahot, the book that I co-authored with Lois Shanker. And not long after we finished the book, Ruth invited me to apply to this program, and I turned her down. Why? My list of reasons was long. I had a small baby who was still nursing, I was too busy, I'm not justice-minded enough, I don't do well traveling internationally. There were probably a few more I can'ts among that list. So I politely declined and asked to be thought of the next year. And then I quickly forgot about the opportunity, put it out of my mind, just thinking it's not the right opportunity for me. But I spent the next year teaching the beautiful text that Ruth herself had written as the introduction to our book. And I want to share her words with you because they continue to inspire me every day. She wrote, "I work in and outside the Jewish community to make social change and create a greater degree of justice in the world. What I have learned from this experience is we cannot retreat to the luxury of being overwhelmed. I know many Jews who are motivated to act for others but not sure how to proceed, and also many who are activists working for social change who become discouraged and cut back or stop being involved. They talk about the frustratingly slow pace at which change occurs, how many setbacks arise, how many different issues and challenges there are competing for their attention. Often, people say that it's just too much, that they're overwhelmed because they cannot do everything, they cannot do anything. I certainly reassure them, we all feel this way some of the time, but to feel overwhelmed and use that as an excuse to move far away from work for social justice is a convenient out. It is a luxury we simply cannot allow ourselves to enjoy when we know there are human beings in trouble, in need of our not retreating. It is our responsibility to work through the feeling of being overwhelmed, find ways in which we can make a difference, and remember our tradition teaches that to save one life is to save the world." It's a powerful message. And each time I quoted these words, I felt a twinge inside of me. I was retreating to my luxury. I felt too busy, too unsure, too needed by my family to let myself even try to understand how I could be a part of the greater good in our world. Ruth's teaching reminded me of my favorite teaching from Pirkei Avot. You are not obligated to complete the task, neither are you free to desist from it. I can't solve every problem, but I must try. My friends, we live in a world where there are daily reminders of how much work there is to do in order to make this world a place in which we want to raise our children and, God willing, grandchildren and their children. It's a world that can feel more broken than whole, a world where the news leads with hate and violence, and where fear and ignorance too often reign. It was because of this that I took the leap. I agreed to apply, and if accepted, take this journey. To say that the trip was life-changing sounds like hyperbole, but it's actually true. On a very basic level, I learned some things about myself that I had completely forgotten since becoming a mother. I remembered how much I like to read. I've read over 100 books since January. I know, crazy. How much I really do enjoy travel when I don't have to schlep suitcases and children in car seats. And that when necessary, I can pack lightly. That one was the biggest shock to me. Thank you, Liza, for the suitcase that allowed that to happen. Most importantly, I found out what it means to have moral courage. Moral courage is the courage to take action for moral reasons, despite the risk of adverse consequences. Courage is required to take action even in the face of doubts or fears about the consequences, which means that it's different than bravery. And it's different from the Jewish value of chesed, of kindness. These can be spontaneous. Moral courage involves deliberation and careful thought. Atticus Finch, perhaps the greatest moral compass in American literature, offers this insightful explanation of courage to his son, Jem. It's when you know you're licked before you begin, but you begin anyway, and you see it through no matter what. Throughout history, we can point to examples of moral courage, from Rosa Parks' decision to sit firmly in her seat to Oskar Schindler's dedication to his workers. We can see what happens when we act from a place of moral courage, when you see what's ahead and you proceed anyway. In Guatemala, I met with superheroes like this, men and women who exhibit moral courage on a daily basis. The safety and security in Guatemala is rather tenuous now, particularly during President Morales' continued state of siege. So because of that, I'm going to tell you stories without names so that the text, when it gets posted, does not create further danger to these superheroes. We were guided by the in-country consultant for American Jewish World Service. He wove his own story into the history of the armed conflict in Guatemala. The effects of the Cold War reached all the way to his village, and it was burned to the ground. The consultant and his family fled into the jungle, where they lived for 7 months, moving every few days, and then into a camp in Mexico, where they stayed for the next 12 years. He shared that only he, one brother, and his father survived their ordeal. Other brothers, his grandmothers, aunts, uncles, and cousins all perished. He left his work investigating war crimes in the hardest hit areas, the ones that had experienced unbelievable atrocities, to join the work of American Jewish World Service. He is the direct contact for 19 organizations funded through American Jewish World Service who are fighting for justice, equality, democracy, and basic rights throughout Guatemala. Two other partners at an AJWS grantee organization told of their extraordinary and courageous work investigating and reporting on what is actually happening on the ground, rather than what's reported in their mainstream media. The AJWS grantee has a widespread network throughout the country, which uses technology in innovative and brilliant ways. These two journalists work tirelessly to seek justice and to share the truth of life in Guatemala throughout the entire country. Their network of journalists risks their lives every day to share that truth and expose injustice. They do it because it's the only way to ensure that the world knows what the truth is. Rabbi Dr. Aryeh Cohen was a professor of mine in rabbinical school. He was also going through his ordination at the same time as I was, so we stood on the bima together in our moment of ordination. He was both my teacher and my colleague, my friend, and he wrote, "There's a great word in the rabbinic tradition, taromet. The word taromet shares a root with the word for thunder, ram. Taromet is the reaction which is sanctioned by a court when a person has been harmed in a way that is not a legally actionable act. And yet, she has been morally wronged. Taromet, or righteous rage, does not carry with it any legal remedy, aside from communal vindication in one's outrage. Therefore, righteous indignation. The contemporary occurrence of Taromet is the moment when you recognize that your understanding of justice has run up against an immoral situation. When workers are legally paid a salary so low they cannot afford to feed and shelter themselves. When undocumented immigrants and their children are exploited for their work but are disenfranchised politically and ultimately criminalized. In whatever issue, Taromet, righteous indignation, occurs when you are forced to compare your understanding of justice with the reality of a situation, and you find that the reality does not stand up to scrutiny. At that moment, you're faced with the question, what am I willing to do about this? The answer to this question can be anything from nothing, through clicking on an email, to joining a demonstration, to voting, to participating in an act of civil disobedience. Deciding to take that action is the hineni, here I am moment. The French Jewish philosopher Emmanuel Levinas has suggested that the statement hineni signals an opening of oneself to the other. Here I am to respond to your suffering. The hineni, or here I am moment, is the moment at which you realize that the jarring dissonance between the reality of injustice and the demands of justice comprise an obligation for you to act. The hineni moment is the move from, wow, this sucks, somebody should do something, to, I am one of the people who have to do something. On Rosh Hashanah, I spoke about the power of presence. I asked you to think about how you will answer the question, Ayeka, where are you? With hineni, I am here. I am present. I am ready. Today, on our day of eternal judgment, the Yom HaDin, I encourage you to affirm your answer. Are you here? In a world where we see injustice nearly every day, how will you take a stand? Will you work to combat the homelessness in our city? Will you join us to cook for Outside In each month, helping to prepare meals for homeless youth and other marginalized people? Will you participate in Soup to the Streets in the winter months, providing warm soup and sandwiches to tent cities? Will you take a stand and stand up for our environment? Will you share your voice against the crisis of the Rohingya people and other genocides with the work that the Never Again Coalition does? Will you allow your conscience to be moved by the dire situation at our own borders, not just fighting for due process for asylum, but also to change our policies abroad so that the corrupt governments around the world whose people are fleeing will consider the lives and dignity of their own citizens and create countries that people want to remain in instead of running from? Hillel famously teaches us, also in Pirkei Avot, if I am not for myself, who am I? If I am only for myself, who will be for me? And if not now, when? How can I stand with you? We're not doing this alone. We're doing it in community. I urge you to email me after the holiday. Let me know what you're interested in taking part in, and I will connect you with other people doing that same kind of work. And if you don't want to wait till the holiday is over, on the table on your way out, there are a few resources that can tie you in to the end of Yom Kippur and work beyond that. American Jewish World Service has an inspiration for Ne'ilah, means to have locked gates, locked walls, locked borders. And there are postcards you can take home with you from the Never Again Coalition talking about the work that we need to do, writing. It's already there. You just have to sign it, put a stamp on it in your address, and send it in to the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations if you want to take a stand and share our voice about genocide never being okay. We're here to do this work together. In this moment, we turn towards our community to hold one another as we recall the memories of those we have loved and who no longer walk with us physically on our journeys with Yizkor. The words of the memorial prayer read, in loving testimony to their lives, I pledge tzedakah to help perpetuate ideals important to them. It is through our deeds, our moral courage to stand up for justice, that our loved ones' legacy can live on. You don't have to do it all. And in fact, you can't do it all. But you can summon the courage to act. Remember, moral courage isn't about how many good deeds you can do. It's about knowing that the task list before us is impossible and starting anyway. We cannot retreat to the luxury of being overwhelmed. Gemar Tov. May we enter into this new year with a ceiling of good and with a little bit of taromet, of thunder, and righteous indignation pulling us forward.